chant a bit, dance a bit, and we take some prasadam, we do some service, and then we thought that surrender this big business, we can do it later. We keep our heart into ourselves. Although we know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's the greatest, but we still want to keep our heart to ourselves. We want to keep it for our sense enjoyment. So I don't know, I think some of you have seen the drama show by Shamananda Babu, we experience many, many times in this lifetime, our heart broken and broken again, and we come to know about Krishna, but still we want to hold on to our heart. We still hesitate to give ourselves totally to Krishna. So this surrender is not that easy. So we know that the soul is a part and parcel of Krishna. We actually share the same quantity, but in different quantity. So the soul is by nature Satchin Ananda. So the three guna, the three more material nature. But why the soul will end up bound by the rope of material nature? Guna is mean rope. Is the rope is actually made by different small string to make it very strong. So similarly, this string is actually made by more of goodness, more of passion, and more of ignorance. So this makes the material nature. In a Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, verse number 5, it is said that material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the eternal living entities come in a contest with nature, Almighty Arjuna, he becomes conditioned by these modes. So Srila Prabhupada says that the law consists of superior and inferior energy. The living entities belong to the eternal superior energy of the law. But because he contact with the inferior energy of the material energy of the law, he become entangled. Srila Prabhupada say that although this is inferior energy, but because this is conducted by the Supreme Will of Krishna, so this illusion actually is also eternal. So this is say that we have the term is called eternal condition, nitya bandha. And by our own energy, it's very, very difficult to overcome it. So we know that material nature is very, very strong. So even great Paramahamsa, some very great soul, they also although they do not affect by the guna, but they tolerate the material nature with firm faith on the lotus feet of the law. So for example, we know that for the Pandava, they are great devotee of the law, they are pure devotee of Krishna, they are the cousin and a very dear friend of Krishna. Lord Krishna himself, he see Yudhisthira Maharaj, he will pay obeisances to Yudhisthira because he is more senior to him. And while he see Arjuna, he's more junior than him, and then he will embrace Arjuna. So Pandava, these five brothers, they are no ordinary human being. But we know that from the history, from Mahabharata, they undergone so many difficulties and obstacles. Duryodhana, they try to kill them again and again. They put poison into their cake. They want to burn them and by setting fire. And they attract fear. And they even try to insult their wife Draupadi in front of in the public. And for example, also Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, he left Vrindavan at the old age. He went on the cruise, and then he undergone some very critical seasickness and heart attack, and then he almost lost his life. But so we know that Krishna is showing us that like great soul, they have to tolerate the material nature. So sometimes we say that we know that we go on to book distribution, we go Sankirtan. Sometimes we don't distribute many books, or we distribute few books, or we do some service but nobody appreciate it, and then we got discouraged. So we should learn that from this is we say that the great Acharya or Paramahamsa, is it the bad karma so that they have bad reaction? actually the Paramahamsa, they have no karma, they have only Krishna karma. But Krishna, because they want to show us we have to have the firm faith and we have to tolerate of the material nature. So by setting this example by them, we should learn from them. So we know that this material world is neither a place for ladies or gentlemen. Just like Kadamba Kanana Swami, once in the lecture in here, he said that many people, they take suffering as normal. They do not know they suffer. Just like he himself, actually he have some body pain or some uncomfortable. It doesn't mean it is normal, but we just take it at a normal. But we do not meditate on the pain, we do not meditate on suffering, we go on to do our service, but one have to tolerate. Just as Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 14, O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and the disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception and one must learn to tolerate them without disturb. So we know that this material energy is really, really, really difficult to surpass. And there's the example, a story, like Subari Muni. He performed great austerity. He lived under the water, and then he's a great yogi. It seems that he can control all his senses. But once he see under the water, he sees two fish being together, and then he lost his composure, and then he fall down afterward. So our senses are always look for every opportunity to enjoy. But only by performing austerity, or we thought our senses are under control or by our own power. But the sages was even like in the most holy places in Vrindavan, in the sacred river Yamuna, but only seeing the fish enjoy together, he could fall down. But we can see in another case of like Haridas Thakur, he's in the hut in the forest. He was completely isolated from outside. And one night, a very, very beautiful woman came to Haridas and proposed that she want to enjoy with him. Haridas Thakur say, "Oh, I'm sorry, it's okay, but I have to finish my round first." So he just chant until the other morning, and the prostitute was waiting for her, and she left. And she come to the other night, and then the same thing, Haridas Thakur said, "No problem, ladies, I need to finish my round first, please just wait for me." So the same thing happened, he chant until morning, and then he left. And then the other night, she come again, and then the same thing happened. Until the third or fourth night, this prostitute listened to the chanting of Haridas Thakur, she even become pure. So even this Maya personified herself, she become the disciple Haridas Thakur. And she at the later she even wearing in white and preach in different places. So we know that we have to be, if we want to be in the transcendental platform, regulate our activities to be stay to keep ourselves in the mode of the goodness is very important. But to raise ourselves into by wake up early at the morning, by chanting, by doing service, and then it will help us to stay in the mode of goodness. But we know that there are different of internally and externally. Sometimes maybe we keep ourselves very clean, we put our tila, we wake up early at the morning. Externally we look like in the mode of goodness. But we should be remembered internally, we should be also very pure. So it is like this is require more skill. It's the art of putting the body and the mind and the soul together, like physically, mentally, and spiritually, all together in the same platform. We say something of Krishna consciousness, we say something nice, but at the same time, we should keep our mind and mentality in a very, very good and pure state. So, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 36, it is said that even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of misery. So we know that how to cross over the ocean of material suffering, and in the verse we read, it's like we should we can cross over this ocean by surrender to Krishna, and also we can build up this transcendental knowledge, and then we can cross over this ocean of material suffering. So we know that there are different kinds of knowledge. Even like we explain to people, there are so many different of knowledge around us. There are so many different kinds of books and information in the public. Most of the knowledge teaches how to take care of our body, how to get more wealth, and then there are even many different kinds of knowledge are actually simply some nonsense. That even in the Vedas, Vedas mean knowledge which is not coming from the ordinary people, which is coming from the Lord himself. But actually, among the Vedas, there are very, very high percentage of these Vedas are teaching karma kanda, fruitive activities. Really high percent of the Vedas, they are teaching karma kanda, fruitive activities. Yeah, many of them are quite passionate, and some of them are meant to giving to some tamagun people. But what is the difference? The difference of the knowledge in Vedas is that by following this process, one will gradually raise up their guna. They will slowly, by the prior activity, they will get them. If they get the mercy from Krishna, he will get to know the sweet law. So this is the process. So we know that this knowledge, transcendental knowledge, is very important. So how to perceive this knowledge? First, we know that by listening. By listening to a spiritual master and pure devotee, and by rendering service to devotee and submissively listen to the great soul. So we know that we always heard Srila Prabhupada make an example. We cannot cross the ocean by pulling the tail of a dog. The dog can seem like he can swim, but he cannot cross the ocean. And we thought that we pull the tail of the dog, we can cross over it. This is silly. So we know that we should take shelter of an expert bowman, which is sent by Krishna, and he's our spiritual master. And second point, how do we perceive this knowledge is not envious. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse number 1, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the misery of material existence." Krishna says he gives this supreme knowledge to Arjuna because he is not envious. This is very, very important. So you may say, "I'm not envious to Krishna." And then maybe you will be very honest that maybe I jealous of that boy, maybe I jealous of that girl, or maybe I jealous to that particular devotee. So envious is due to thinking that I should be the best. I'm supposed to want to enjoy. But actually, everybody, their ability, our reaction, we got it according by the law of nature, or is given by the mercy of the law. So one thinking that if one is envious of other person, who would be actually envious? Be envious to Krishna also. So we know that how to advance in our spiritual practice, and the power of intention is very important. And we should examine ourselves is that we know that we should be the servant of the servant, but do we actually want to be the servant of the servant? Or we know that surrender is good, but do we really want to surrender? But it is also said that Maya will bound us into this material entanglement. But Srila Prabhupada also once said that also in Srimad Bhagavatam, some purport, Maya bound us, but at the same time, Maya can help us back to the Godhead. I have a story to share. This is not really a typical story. This is I heard from someone. A spiritualist. Once she had a very very weird dream, and after that she shared and discussed with a devotee and make an analogy. So once she dreamed that in a place like in a I don't know, have you seen it, like in my place where I come from, Hong Kong, there's some like seafood shop that they have the like an aquarium, they have the water tank and build up with the other tank one story by one story. So she dreamed that there is a water tank is full of lobster, and then one level on top of another level. So a butcher was putting the lobster on a cutting board. He just chopped and one after one, and then suddenly one lobster just splash the water and then jump out from the water, and then the lobster is keep running to the sea of the pier, and then keep running until the butcher he realized, and then he just grabbed the lobster, but the he didn't take him back to the water tank. Instead of it, this he grabbed this lobster and then put this lobster back to the sea, and then even waving to this lobster and as if saying goodbye. So this is a very real dream. But after she discussed with some devotee and have an analogy come out that actually in some psychology or Western reading, it is said that lobster is like our consciousness, like the lobster have the hard shell, is like the false ego, and the flesh is actually like the soul. And this lobster, this very lobster, he dream of actually is appeared that have no shell. This lobster without shell, so it is like that. This lobster is without, is clear with the false ego, and then real life it is the soul. And then why the butcher? The butcher is actually is compared of like the material nature. The material nature or the Maya will devour us, will torture us, and then at the end it will keep killing all the lobster. But when this particular person or lobster, he make the endeavor to make the desire to back to the ocean. The ocean is compared is like the Godhead. So once this lobster he want to escape from this material entanglement, this Maya energy, like this butcher, actually he will not catch the lobster back to the shop. Instead of it, he will send this lobster back to the water. So So just like we see that most of the lobster, they just stay in the water tank, and they think I'm all right, I have thing to eat, I'm water. Just like many of the person, they think that I'm all right, I have a job, I have car, I have beautiful wife. But in other minutes, the butcher, as the material energy, will just grab us, and then most of the time we are suffering, and then sometimes we receive some artificial sweetness, but at last we will just devour by the material nature. So the realized one who realizes he is the spirit soul, just as the lobster, we will free ourselves from the false ego and try to run back the mercy of Krishna. So we know that we are not belong to this body, we are not belong to this material world. Once I heard that Jananivas Prabhu in one lecture said that many often we say that we have to fight against Maya, and then he said that he's not wrong, but in the other way, we know that the material, the Maya energy is actually belong to Krishna. So how could we possible to fight against this Maya energy? Actually, we should pray that we shall not be influenced by this illusory energy and to be protected by the law. So this is a very short presentation. Yeah, because I didn't prepare very well, so thank you for listening. And if anyone have any comment or yes. Lobster is like in the Western some reading. It is said that lobster is actually represent consciousness, because the lobster have the hard shell. The hard shell is like our false ego, but inside the hard shell is very tender and soft. It's like our soul. So this example is said that in this spiritualist her dream, the lobster she just tried to escape, and then the butcher cat caught the lobster. And then we thought by our normal thinking that the butcher caught the lobster, of course it will chop it or put it back to the tank. But this butcher will put this lobster back to the ocean, while this lobster endeavor to go back to the ocean. So it is like compared to we always say that Maya energy is negative. Maya energy always like to make us to be entangled, and then it's a great enemy of us. But Srila Prabhupada say that also Maya will help us. How to help us? Maya will help us by hitting us very, very hard. And also because Maya energy is belong to the law. So like this butcher or like this lobster, one or ourselves, we make the intention or decision that we don't want to stay in this material world. The lobster don't want to stay in the water tank. We want to go back to the spiritual world. And this Maya will help us back to Godhead. So this is just an analogy. Yes, sorry. Hare Krishna. Thank you. What I think is actually every of us experience that how Maya, most of us, if we are practicing, because why we come to this Krishna consciousness is we experience, maybe we do not have the memories of the past life, but at least we remember in this life since our childhood or when we go to school, while we grow up, we experience so many failure and really bad experience. It's actually, this is the Maya energy, is a it will discourage us again and again, just like I said, our heart broken and broken again, and at last, and then we know that this is the prey that it is not the prey we could get really enjoyment and sweetness here. And then by maybe our past pious activities or by the mercy of devotee, we come to know that Krishna. So in this way, I forgot who said, Maya help us by hitting us very hard so that we know that Krishna is our sweet Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.